This morning's scripture reading comes from Luke 10, verses 38 to 42. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed her into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." These are the words of the Lord. Amen. It's my privilege to introduce to you today Brian Rotach. Brian is the pastor at the Seneca Street United Methodist Church, which is our mission church. They do a lot in the area of Buffalo, and he's here today to give us our sermon.
Good morning. Happy to be here. I got a call from Kevin on Friday saying, "It looks like we're both going to be away. You said you could come anytime." And I said, "Sure, this isn't any time." I serve an inner city church in Buffalo, and I've served in these inner city churches for more than 30 years. It just seems to be the place I belong. In this particular neighborhood, nobody gets up on Sunday morning. We had a little service with almost nobody in it for years, so we decided we would just meet reality. We get together at 3 every Sunday afternoon for dinner, and it's a dinner for the whole neighborhood, and then we worship at 4:15, and then we give away a ton of baked goods from a local Tops store at 5:30. It works out well for everybody, except for the Bills fans. They get a little edgy sometimes. So we've even found a good-sized TV set to put in, and it's in a room next to the sanctuary so they can watch the end of the game. And worship has been known to start at 4:16 or 4:17 if it's overtime. So that's kind of where we kind of deal with our reality, and I know you deal with yours too, like the people who bring in lots of vegetables. I was just talking with a vegetable grower who said he does that some of his come into the church, and that's a wonderful abundance to deal with as well. I'm happy to be here, and as a matter of fact, my plan with Kevin had been that I would come sometime this fall and tell you a little bit about a work that you've been supporting for many years. I think I was last here maybe 15 years ago to say a little bit about Seneca Street to a missions group, but it's a very interesting kind of place that I'll wait and talk about later. Today, the lesson at hand is a good one and an important one, whether you're in Buffalo or Springville. So I'd like for us to think about that. I'm married. My wife, Cheryl, is a wonderful hostess. She loves to have people over, doesn't do it a whole lot, but she fusses. She'll work sometimes all night the night before, making sure everything is right. And if I get in the kitchen to help, she's like right behind me with a sponge. And it's amazing. There was a joke at church, they say there's a sponge attached to her right hand, because it seems that there's, and I don't clean up quite as well while I'm cooking. As a matter of fact, sometimes if I set down a knife, it'll be clean or gone before I need it again. Some of you who've shared a kitchen with someone know what that's like. It's a good thing. But then when our guests arrive, she's still at it. She's still getting everything right, and when it's time for us to eat, she'll duck in and sit down. Within a minute or so of the meal, she's back up and out in the kitchen getting something else ready or doing something else, and we'll have an evening of her bouncing up and down, and she's a wonder. I'm not in any way, this is just Cheryl, she won't change, she's just great the way she is, but she's a Martha, and she probably is in good company among Methodists, because there's a lot of Methodist Marthas out there, the ones who just continually feel as if they need to make things a little better and work hard and sometimes get just a little resentful at the Mary types who kind of sit there. I'm one of the Mary types usually, who doesn't do quite as much as she does. She's wonderful, and I'm grateful for her just the way she is. It's unfair that she does more work than I do, and I appreciate what she does. But sometimes she even misses out on some of the reason for inviting them people to our house in the first place. The time for just human interaction, for just sitting and listening. And that's important to her, but it's hard for us sometimes when we know we've got something more that we have to do, to just sit still and listen to another person's story or maybe share a little bit of our own. It turns out we need that. We need that human contact, that eye-to-eye time when we can just listen and hear more than the words that are spoken, get to understand that there's usually some deep-seated things in all of us that inform what it is we talk about it and how it is we talk about it. And by getting to know each other better, we can love each other better. I find that my soul thirsts for human contact, even though I have lots and lots of it in the work that I do. But there's dangers in being the kind of person that most of us are. We tend to overwork, we tend to overproduce, and no matter how good the work is, we can be overbusy and we can be consumed by our work. And most of us feel pressure to do something more as soon as we sit down, and so we try to do that. Henry Nouwen calls us people with overpacked suitcases because we have too many things waiting to be done. There's always one more phone call to make, one more person to talk with, one more bill to pay, one more thing to check on the internet, one more thing to do in all of our days, whether we're fixing a faucet or going to the church to help out down there, or whether there's something more we need to pick up from the store. We can fill our days and fill our lives with these things. We're always conscious of some task we need to do. So for the next few minutes, I'd like you to set down the gorgeous day it is. Obviously, you folks have chosen in some ways to be merry, because when you could be out doing 50 other things, you've chosen to be here to have your hearts and your ears open and to hear something that will help during the week ahead, that will help in your relationships with others and with your relationship with God. And if I can't provide that, then God will. I discover after I've preached, sometimes people thank me for things I didn't say, and I realize that God was giving them, either I'm not aware of what I'm saying, or that people are hearing what God needed them to hear, whether or not I spoke it. So we're always conscious of some task that we need to do, and our days are too short, and we ourselves want to give ourselves to do the right things, but sometimes we do too many things, and we can be blind to this, and our work becomes our escape. We get so preoccupied with all the things we do that we rationalize our being busy as being a reason why we don't get to be in all of our relationships. Indeed, our being busy can be an escape from some of the things we need to do and some of the things we need to hear. After all, it is a perfect excuse. We're just too busy. And the sad thing is that other people tend to support us in this kind of escape. With every other addiction, we can be sent off to a clinic. But if our addiction is to working, we get admired and praised for our selflessness. If we drink too much or eat too much or get dependent on a drug, we're frowned upon by many people around us. But if we overwork to the point of neglecting some of our important relationships, they say of us, isn't she wonderful? Isn't she dedicated? And as we become more immersed in our work becomes the main place where we get satisfaction, to the point where we only look to our work for satisfaction and lose some of the other very important things in our life. And I'm not talking about just people who have jobs. We can be just as busy and full of it at home as we can at work. Habits are hard to break, and the habit of working all the time is a hard one to break. That's why Jesus' warning to Martha catches us a little off guard, because Martha was sure she was doing the right thing. She'd done the thing she'd always done. When a guest comes, especially a guest who's a teacher, the best thing to do is to do everything. Everything we can think of to make sure that he has a pleasant visit and a good meal and a comfortable place to sit and all those kinds of things. And so Martha's busy doing that, and Mary just sits. And she listens, and Jesus talks. And then Jesus actually does the unexpected by disagreeing with Martha and saying, no, Mary has chosen the most important thing and that won't be taken away from her. He's saying that Mary's idleness surpasses Martha's busyness, because sometimes the most important things are not our work, even noble and necessary work. And it may be that it's true that busyness is not always a virtue. Sometimes we get so busy doing church that we forget to be church. We discuss the fundraiser or the building need or the upcoming meals. There's always an upcoming meal if we're United Methodists, and those things tend to take the conversation long before the question, how is it with your soul? Are you struggling and hurting? Knowing we know something of each other's struggles and hurts if we've listened at all, and we can be there to take that person aside to say, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying for you. How is it going? And that word is the most powerful word a person hears in the entire week, and a word that people need to hear from each other when they come to church. All of the things that we do to keep ourselves busy are secondary to hearing God's word, experiencing Christ, and being here for each other, the way Jesus was in all of his human interactions with others. For those of us who are caught in a swirl of concerns, God offers a better way. And it surpasses busy, and it surpasses worry, it surpasses distractions, it surpasses work, it surpasses everything. I serve a church where there's a lot of children, and they come mostly without parents or parent, and some of them are noisy in church. So that it's kind of a nice, pleasant thing to have you be so polite to me. I hope that's something I'd like to get used to. But it's and even the adults. I discovered the kids, if they aren't talking, they're texting, and the adults are kind of have something they're thinking about, whether it's the meal or whatever that they just have to. And someone will come in to do something and go out. It's kind of the way of the world these days. What I'd like for us to do, and if I'm getting in the way of something in this order of worship, I apologize, but I'd like for us to take that minute, if we could now, to just be on the listening end. I really believe that all through the night and all through the day, Jesus is waiting near us, only an arm's length apart, they say, because that's as far as we can keep God, waiting to give us some word that we need to hear. And sometimes the word that God waits to give us is, I love you, always have, always will. You are no accident. You are part of my plan, and I need your help. Those are often, for me, the opening words of God's dialogue with me. And if I get that far without getting distracted, then God can go on and give me ideas for the day. I have two kinds of days. Maybe you do too. I have the days that I begin by putting the whole day in God's hands, by saying, I don't know where you most need me, Lord, but just pull me and take me wherever you want. And then I have the days where I just get busy and just do it all. And I discover the ones when I truly give it to God are really the best days of all. They're busier sometimes. Sometimes I'll be pulled in what feels like 12 different directions in one day to be there for something or someone who needs me. But at the end of those days, I feel a certain peace that comes from being available to God. So I'd like to invite you to have a quiet time now and invite God to take charge of today. I know you got some plans. There's a boat waiting to leave the dock or a hot dog waiting to be cooked. But they can wait. Let's take a few minutes and put this day in God's hands. Would you pray with me? Amen. That's just the beginning. There's a part two to that silent prayer that I hope you'll take at some point in this day, just to check in, make sure that you're still giving God's day. Taking the time away from our own stuff to seek God's way is the reason why we're created. And the only way we're going to find God's way for our life is if we find a way to listen, to sit at the feet of Jesus, literally or figuratively, and to invite God to, to lead us through our day and through our life. Once again, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, help us. We're all Marthas. We all tend to get too busy, and we tend to use that busyness for an excuse to not spend the kind of time with you and with each other that's most needed, that's the most important thing of all. So challenge us and encourage us, nudge us to do a better job of listening and living in you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.